from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
The game.
Welcome back. No Mark Willard. He'll be back on Wednesday enjoying some family time up in Tahoe, right, Dibs?
That's right. Yeah. You saw the Instagram post of...
Oh, they're coming, right?
Oh, yeah, on a boat. And he's on a boat. He's loving it.
Sure, yeah. It's beautiful up there right now.
Lovely, I'd imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
He's back Wednesday, and I'm out Wednesday, which is
oh,
nice.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, my young baby, my almost 2-year-old, is going to preschool.
Oh, it's a big day.
Wednesday, we have the big open house in the afternoon, and then Thursday is her first day of preschool.
That's a big day. How are you feeling? How's Supper feeling?
I'm feeling good, and Sup Dibs, my lovely wife, Supper, she's, the emotions will be flowing.
I'm sure.
The tears will flow.
I'm sure.
Like the Ganges in the fall. There will be tears, and it's going to be hard, but, yeah. You know, for me, this is my round two, and it's like, get out of the car. Get your backpack.
Go to school. We need some time without a baby at
home. Totally. We actually have a lunch reservation because Thursday's my day. So, you know, we're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But I do want to just take a brief moment, quick aside, to give a heavenly shout out to my dad, Dwayne Dibley. 9 years ago today, he transitioned to the other side. So my sister just texted me reminding me that 9 years ago today, our dad died, Dwayne Dibley, who was the legend. He was the original GOAT. He is the funniest man I ever met. He is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. He was he was really it in our family. And I love my mom, and she's also passed on. But Dwayne was the dude. He grew up in Minnesota, and he was the first ever college graduate in our family.
Wow.
No one had ever graduated college.
There we go. Shout out Dwayne Dibley.
And Dwayne graduated college when I was 4. So that was 1972, which means he was 37.
Wow.
And he got across
Good
the finish
for him.
Line. Yeah, he got it done, and he raised 4 kids, 3 nightmares, and then me. shout out the Hurricane and Mikey 1.0 and Douglas and all the rest of them. And yeah, Dwayne was it. Dwayne worked 51 weeks a year, and the only week that he took off was to go to the Humboldt County Fair. So one week a year, he would take a week vacation. He'd go to the horse races. And so coming up in 2 weeks, we're all going to go up to Humboldt for the Dwayne Dibley Memorial Race. It'll be the 8th year we've done that. So
good way to remember him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And his ashes may or may not be scattered in the winner's circle.
Uh-huh.
I can neither confirm nor deny based on, you know, the statute of limitations on whether or not that's a felony to just, like, throw human ashes all over the place. But
yeah, I don't know about that one. You have to do a little bit of research.
Yeah, I know it's frowned upon, but, yeah. Anyway, Dwayne Dibley.
Yeah, shout out to Pop.
It.
Shout out to the OG.
Thanks, Grandy.
Dwayne Dibley, yeah. We're getting into Steph Curry here on Willard and Dibs. Willard will be back on Wednesday again. It's Grandy in for Willard alongside Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. And you said something just before we went to break, Dibs, maybe Steph Curry has longer left as an elite player in the NBA than we've expected. I think that's been the story for a number of years now, as we were talking about. I totally agree or think that Steph Curry is better now than he was, say, 6, even 8 years ago, potentially, even when he was a unanimous MVP. It just comes so much more difficult to Steph now, and he has to work that much harder for every single point that he scores. And Dibs, watching Saturday, after the original emotion of just pure excitement and pride, after that kind of washes away, after enough time passes, and then you start to think about what comes next for the Golden State Warriors. And I got to thinking, if what Steph Curry did and the experience that he had during this Olympic game, we know how important this was to him. He's been talking about it for years. He's desperately wanted to get a gold medal. And for the way it happened and watching his emotions on the court, even before the fourth three, the golden dagger, as Noah Eagle put it, the third three, he was screaming down the court, back up the court when France is still trying to score and get back in the game. He is just letting out bellows over and over and over again. And it seems like an emotional reaction fitting of winning an NBA Finals game. Winning an NBA Finals, period, is what it felt like based on his reaction. And you have all the comments leading up to it, and Steph saying, quote, this is the most fun I've had in a really long time. You have Steve Kerr on this very station with Bonte and Shasky late last week saying he's just excited to be back in the championship hunt again. And part of my mind drifts towards, Dibs, well, Steph Curry getting a taste of this championship moment again. It sure seems like he wants to keep feeling that feeling.
Right.
And part of me wonders if maybe his thought for the future has maybe shifted just a little bit. Not necessarily, I'm not saying like leaving the Warriors necessarily, but maybe he feels at the very least, I'm still good enough, I still love this feeling enough, I still desperately want this feeling enough, that I'm willing to put my neck out there on the line and push even harder for it. And maybe that comes in the form of pressuring the organization into making a move, maybe a little bit more aggressively than he previously thought he might be willing to do.
Maybe, and I do think that he's already probably behind the scenes made his imprint on what they should do or what they could do, and that certainly is part of what you do when you're Steph Curry. Look, he's won 4 titles, and there's nothing better than being in that championship mix, whether it's in adult softball league or high school volleyball that I've been able to win titles doing, or under-8 soccer, or the NBA championship, or the Olympic Games. Whenever you're involved in sport, you want to be there at the end and competing for the absolute biggest prize that you can possibly compete for at that level. And so Steph Curry, he's already done it 4 times. He's got 4 NBA titles, and now he's 36 and he just got the gold medal, and there's nothing like the adrenaline of what he just went through. And I have no idea what that's like, but you could see it. And you mentioned it. After the third three, he screamed. It was a guttural scream.
Like, endlessly. He kept screaming.
And I love it, because the first three, he ran down court, and he was
calm down.
We're up 6. And bring it down.
Deep breath.
And he was telling the French crowd, like, look, bring it down. This is ours. And the second three, he was running over and finding Draymond Green and saying,
screamed, don't worry about me.
Don't worry about me.
That was the translation.
Over and over and over. Don't worry about me. And he said it and like directly to Draymond and directly to the celebrity row. And then the third three, that was just a pure release of screams. And that was awesome. And then the fourth one, that's where he hit the night. And when he hits the fourth one, and that's the fourth one to me is the one that will be forever iconic.
Yeah.
But for me, it's all about the sequence of it. And the fourth one, we've seen it so many times, but that was one for the world. And the world, when they saw that, that was like, you gotta be bleeping me. Yeah, because we've seen it so many times where that's not a shot that anyone should take, would take, or could take. And yet we all knew. And as soon as he shot that out of his hand, I kind of knew that it was going in, and it just was ridiculous. And he hit him with the night, and then they cut to Embiid and Halliburton, and they're both doing the night and Tatum. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So yes, he wants that again, but what can this organization do? What can this team do between now and I don't know, the end of Steph Curry's run, which might be 4 more years. It could be 6 years. It could be 2 years. He might want to go somewhere else. I mean, what are we thinking about Steph Curry and, like, where he wants to go next?
Well, that, I mean, that's the question. What is there for this organization to do at this moment? It feels like they're just kind of in a holding pattern because you weren't able to make Paul George happen. Whether or not you think that's a good thing or not is an entirely different conversation. But Paul George would have been a legitimate number two, a legitimate running mate alongside Steph Curry. Maybe it was the Clippers not wanting to trade with the Golden State Warriors and help the Warriors. Maybe it was they didn't like what the return would have been. Maybe it was just as simple as the Clippers wanting to get out of the luxury tax and out of the second apron, because if they were going to trade away Paul George to the Warriors would have to have given equal money back. And that would have left the Clippers still in luxury tax hell. So whatever the reason was, you missed on Paul George. And at least in the short term or in the immediate, you also missed on Lauri Markkanen. Whether that was just Danny Ainge kind of playing with opposing teams, seeing what they'd be willing to offer, but really having no intention of trading Lauri Markkanen, whoever the case is, you missed on him. Is there anyone else out there that's good enough, that moves the needle enough that the Warriors can go out and make a move for? Probably not. Are there marginal moves they could still make potentially? Some minor trades that make the team maybe a little bit better? Sure. But as Anthony Slater pointed out to you and Willard, Dibs, I think it was a couple of weeks ago now, maybe it was early last week or 2 weeks ago, he essentially said something along the lines of, do you want to use some of your resources to go out and make some minor moves now that maybe improve the team? Or do you hang on to those resources, those assets, and hope that a disgruntled star pops up in the first half of the season, and then you use those assets you held on to go get a big boy? That might be the Warriors' best path, but that's kind of putting all the eggs in the trade deadline basket, because if you don't get something done at the trade deadline, and this team proves to not be good enough to win a championship or to compete in the Western Conference, then the common line that you're going to hear is, well, the Warriors just wasted another year of Steph Curry's prime, and there might only be one or two more of those years left.
Exactly. And so now you look at it in terms of where we are now versus the offseason, which is coming up here in about 8 more months. So you have the trade deadline you can deal with, and then after that you have to worry about next year. And so do you want to take 1 more year of Steph and think, all right, let's see what we have with Kuminga and Pods, and what can we do with this team? I don't think that this team is good enough to really compete for what Steph was just able to do. So do you get desperate now this year at the deadline, or do you take a year of more information and you don't extend Kuminga and you see if Pods can get better, and you look and see if TJD can take another step and all the rest of it, and then you get to the deadline and maybe you make a decision, or you just go through 1 more year and then you figure out what you can do next offseason to try to make this team more championship ready?
What I'm worried about is, so let's essentially say that the Warriors offseason, for all intents and purposes, is done. There's not going to be a major move that completely changes.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
The outlook for this team before the season begins. Maybe there's a slight move, but I wouldn't argue that there's going to be much, if anything, for the rest of this offseason. And say for whatever reason, it could be the same reasons that Paul George didn't happen, the same reasons that Lauri Markkanen didn't happen. You don't get a big boy in here at this trade deadline. This experience, Dibs, for Steph Curry in Paris and watching his visceral reaction to winning another, not championship, but to winning hardware, to reaching the high in his profession, in his sport, and seeing what that meant to him, and having him say things like, this is the most fun I've had in a really long time. To hear Steve Kerr say things like, he's just excited to be back in the championship mix. If this Warriors team, again, another season without being in the championship mix, seeing the way Steph Curry reacted to winning this one in Paris makes me feel like maybe he'd be a little bit more open to the idea of, if things don't work with the Warriors, chasing one more elsewhere. I didn't think it was at all possible, but there was a little bit of me in the back of my head that's saying, the way he reacted, he still wants this, and he's still good enough. I don't think he's going to be open to giving the Warriors too much of the benefit of the doubt moving forward. And if it doesn't work out, it's frightening to me, but he might be open to trying to get it done elsewhere.
He might be, but I wonder what that looks like, because if he's making what he is currently making, and if he's making what he is projected to make based on how good he is, then is there a team that can afford to bring you in and pay you what you're making and be good enough to still make a run for a title? Because if he's going to make 60 and he's going to make maybe 65 or whatever that number is going to be, what team can bring him in and be a winnable team, a team that's ready to win a title by bringing in a $60, $65 million player in Steph Curry? I don't know if that team exists based on, you know, all the aprons and all the rest of it. So I do think that at the end of it, his best chance would be to stay and encourage them to continue to try to build around him and add around him. And if it's, you know, Kuminga that gets traded, and maybe you sign Kuminga and you give him a big contract, and then you do what you did with Jordan Poole and you trade out $40 million of Jonathan Kuminga and you bring back in a $40 million player, and that becomes a team that maybe is more ready to win with Draymond Green.
Yeah. This is Steph Curry after the game on Saturday, talking about the big shots that he made down the stretch and also how much fun he's having. Here's Steph Curry via NBC.
Got a little out of sorts down the stretch, turned the ball over, taking quick shots, and obviously that was a big shot down or up three to put us up six that kind of settled everything, and then the rhythm, the avalanche came, and thankfully the other three went in. But that was an unbelievable moment. I've been blessed to play basketball at a high level for a very long time. I don't know. This ranks very, very high in terms of the excitement and the sense of relief getting to the finish line.
Yeah, and he also said post-game on his Instagram page, he said, quote, "I've done a lot in the game, but this one is up there." That's how much it means to him. And he said post-game against Serbia, after he led Team USA to a win in the semifinal, he also said something very similar. Here he is again on NBC after the Serbia win.
This is everything I imagined it to be. Obviously, this is my first go-around in the Olympics. Knew we were going to get challenged by a great Serbia team, and to have to beat them three times this summer was going to be tough. I just kind of got lost in the moment of understanding how big this stage is and what's at stake for this team, and it was special. It was the most fun, you know, I've had in a very long time, and to dig deep like we did with this group and get a win, special. So I'm kind of basking in that right now, and obviously know we got another tough challenge, France, on the home court.
Most fun I've had in a very long time. That feels like somebody who isn't just content kind of riding off into the sunset. It feels like this is a feeling and a moment that he'd be willing to chase for the final few years of his career.
Yes, agreed. But I wonder if chasing that elsewhere is something that is really feasible or worthwhile as opposed to chasing it here. And, you know, if you chase it here, you've got an owner who will do anything for you, it seems, and you've got a running mate in Draymond Green who knows you better than anybody before. I mean, Draymond was there in the second row in Paris watching you win gold. So I wonder if, like, chasing it somewhere else, what does that really look like? Do you go to L.A. and try to play with LeBron? Well, they can't afford you. Do you go to Phoenix and play with KD? Well, they can't afford you.
They definitely can't afford you.
I mean, where do you go that really makes sense where you can chase what you already have had here?
Yeah. I'm not sure of the situation. I think the feeling that I'm feeling isn't necessarily about where, but it's just about the potential inevitability if things don't go well, that Steph Curry isn't willing to just kind of hang around. And it's not that there's this perfect situation somewhere. It's just that there might be a thought in the back of his head like, this isn't working, and I might want to do it elsewhere. I mean, go back to early July, so a little over a month ago, when he was in Vegas preparing for the Olympics. He sat down with Yahoo's Vincent Goodwill, and he was asked about his future with the Golden State Warriors, and he said this.
Winning is hard in this league, man, and the fact that we've been able to do it for this long has been amazing. Trying to keep the core together this long has been amazing. Obviously, Clay is the first one to not be a Warrior, and so it's a different dynamic. I always want to win, plain and simple, and there's no contentment on just cashing a check and playing basketball and riding it out. Like, pressure is applied on, like, I want to win and I want to be in the best position to make that happen. Doesn't guarantee anything, but until that changes and I feel that energy changes, then I go about my business the same way, and that's where I'm at.
I want to win, and I want to be in the best position to win. It doesn't necessarily guarantee that I'm going to win, but I want to be given that chance. And Steph Curry might look at this offseason up to this point, and if it's coupled with relative inaction at the deadline, maybe he might feel, as he said, the energy has changed a little bit.
Yep, for sure. And you also have the idea of him coming up on an extension at the end of the year. So he's got 2 years left, and at the end of the year, he'll have 1 year left. And so at that point, he'll have a choice to, you know, put pressure on them to extend him, or put pressure on them to maybe trade him or do something else, because he's running out of years. And, you know, you mentioned it before how great he played at the Olympics, but he's 36. He'll be 36 this year. So, you know, you look at 2 more years, 3, 4 more years, and if he still wants to win, and I'm sure he does, and he feels like and he's good enough to still impact winning at, you know, at a global stage. So what are they doing to help him? Better be something.
Yeah. Does D'Anthony Melton do it for you? Does Buddy Hield do it for you?
Probably not.
Does Slow Mo, I know you love that nickname. Does Kyle Anderson do it for you? I mean, I think Steph is probably aware enough to know that there's a decent chance this team is better than last year. But are they going to be legitimate contenders in the Western Conference? If this is what the roster looks like come March and April? I don't know about that. I think the other thing, and we've spent the first 2 hours just singing the praises of Steph, and he absolutely deserves every single bit of it, and this is not at all a knock on Steph, while he absolutely can still reach those highs that he's reached for the last decade plus, he is still capable of doing that. We just saw it on Saturday. We also saw it on Thursday. There are also moments where maybe he's just not quite as consistent as he had been during his prime years. Like, he can still reach this peak, Dibs, no doubt. We've seen it over and over and over again, but maybe he's just unable to reach that peak as often as he possibly can. And if you go into this coming season and you have this whole season with this roster, you're going to be asking Steph to carry a very, very heavy load again. And while he is still so awesome and so great, there does come a point where you're 36 years old and being forced to carry that heavy a load over the course of a full 82-game season, and might be a recipe for disaster come March and April.
Of course, and that's kind of what we saw this past year where, you know, Clay was not as good as he's been, and, you know, Draymond missed a bunch of games, and you didn't have the level of help that you need to get it done. And it's easy to look at the Olympic team and say, okay, you had KD, and you had LeBron, and you had Booker and Embiid and the rest of them, Drew Holiday, and yeah. So it's a little bit easier to just wait until the final 3 or 4 minutes and turn it on. Well, you can't do that when you're a Golden State Warrior, because you don't have that same level of help.
Yeah, you do that, you might be down by 25 going into the fourth quarter.
You might be in the play-in game, which is what happened last year.
Yeah.
So you do need more help, but the fact that he has, you know, verbally said that he wants to still go out there and compete and win, it excites you, but it would also scare me if I was Joe Lacob.
Yeah, here's one other thing he said. That same conversation with Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo, he added on, asked specifically, do you see yourself being a Warrior for life? Here's what Curry said about a month ago.
I can clearly say I want to be a Warrior for life. That's always been my goal. And I'm saying that sitting in this chair right now. But like you said, life, and especially life in the NBA, it is a wild environment, and things change quickly, and the league has changed quickly. So we're trying to adapt and evolve. And until that, I'll let everybody know if that changes. But right now, like, of course, the goal is always to be to finish my career with one team.
That's the goal. That's the goal. But then maybe something else takes the precedent if he finds out he might not be able to win here. I don't know.
Maybe, but I don't know what other spot he could go to where, you know, you're going to have players that are that ready to win and guys who are making that much money. I mean, if he gets to a spot where he plays out his contract here and then he wants to go play for $10 million again or the veteran minimum, then fine. Then maybe you go to a team and be, you know, part of a collective of talented players. But if he's making $60 or $65 million,
it's going to be tough to win no matter where you are.
It's going to be tough to go anywhere and make that kind of money and have other talent around you and still win.
Well, maybe that's the point. And shout out to the 707. If he wants to win, he should take less money and bring in some artillery. That might be the easiest path to get the Warriors to contention. We'll see if that's something that Steph Curry is willing to do. But he is clearly still at the top of this game. He was awesome in the Olympics. All right, time for a break. When we come back, Bob Fitzgerald, who was in Paris for a good portion of the Olympics, he joins us next, of course, voice of the Warriors on NBC Sports Bay Area. We'll talk with Fitz coming up on the other side. It's Willard and Dibs. Grandy in for Willard. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Bobby Fitz coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.